I am what you call an urban explorer. That means that in my free time I love exploring abandoned buildings. Armed with my GoPro and a flashlight, I visit closed-down factories, decrepit bunkers, and forgotten ghost towns. I consider it a hobby, although I also make some money with my YouTube channel, on which I share videos of my explorations with my viewers. To me, there is nothing as mesmerizing as seeing mankind's works in a state of decay. There is something haunting yet magical about being in a building where rot, mould, and weeds have taken over. I can't explain why I have always been attracted to this form of urban decay, but ever since I first set foot in an abandoned warehouse when I was 13, I fell in love with trespassing these types of buildings. Yes, it is a dangerous hobby, and I've gotten myself into trouble a few times over the years. I have run into junkies more than once, and even encountered a pack of coyotes when I exited an old mine shaft in New Mexico. I have also been chased by police and security guards more times than I can count. Still, I couldn't live without the thrills that my hobby gives me. Despite this, there was one building I wish I'd never entered. Exactly 15 years ago, October 2006, I wanted to do something special for Halloween, so I asked the few subscribers I had if they had any recommendations. A follower called Lady Maria 12 commented that I should definitely check out the abandoned Clifford School building, located in a town not far from mine. I should especially check out the pool next to it, the anonymous user emphasized. When I looked up the school online, I found out that a 17-year-old girl had died in the building's pool in 1984, when it was still being used by the school's athletic team. The poor girl was electrocuted when she went for a late-night swim and one of the lights inside the pool burst. It was a horrible story in itself. Just the thought of being electrocuted gave me shivers, but I also doubted it to be true. Many of the places I visit have an urban legend connected to them. After all, a derelict building without a creepy tragedy tied to it remains, well, just a derelict building. For people with too much imagination and an interest in the macabre, it must be easy to make up a story around these places, to scare their friends at parties with. Aside from this story, which I supposed to be an urban legend, I found little about the school online. Apparently it had been in use till 1989, when it was deemed unfit for further use. Why exactly, I couldn't figure out. I did find some low-resolution pictures of the original building, a dated rectangular block with small windows and a tree in the front. According to a blog, its present-day appearance resembled a set from The Walking Dead, rather than a school, a decrepit and overgrown ruin. I drove to the town just after nightfall, because it was always creepier to film in the dark, and from my experience there was less chance of getting caught by police or security guards. I parked my car quite close to the school, and was not disappointed. It looked eerie in the sparse moonlight, and I wondered why the government had never torn it down. It was, however, fenced off, so I had to find a way in, but to my surprise, I found a big hole in the fencing, not far from where I parked my car. That it seemed to have been cut out quite recently was a little scary, because it meant that someone could be inside, but I went through anyway. Inside, I turned on my GoPro and filmed the building from a distance. I was delighted because the building itself looked very creepy in the dark. My viewers will love this, I remember thinking. The rows of dark windows looked like the vacant eyes of some enormous, horrible insect that had died long ago. The willow tree I had seen on the grainy picture I'd found online was still there, but it had lost its leaves, and its long branches were bent in strange ways, like bony fingers. I took a few video shots with the help of my flashlight, and then looked for a way in. I found a door that had partly rotted away and could be opened with a little bit of pulling. When I entered, I saw a big hole in the wall that had clumsily been refilled with cement. With graffiti, somebody had sprayed "There was a hole here" next to it. I wondered what it meant and filmed it. Next, I entered a long and dirty hallway in which a few rusty lockers reminded me that this ruin had once been a school. At the end of it, I found a room that, surprisingly, still had the name of the director on it, painted on the glass in golden letters. Inside the room, I found an old wooden desk with some used needles on it. They could have been lying there forever, but it got me on edge nonetheless, for an agitated Chunky was the last thing you wanted to encounter when exploring alone in the dark. I threaded my way forward, careful not to make too much noise. I was almost delighted to see that the stairway to the upper floor was blocked by dusty stacks of chairs, which gave me an excuse to skip the upper floor. I felt the building had a very sinister feel to it. Maybe it was the idea that these empty halls were once flocked with happy young people. I decided I had almost enough material to make a cool video, but wanted to check out the pool, especially because the user had mentioned that I should check it out. I went outside and looked for an entrance to the pool area, which was located on the side of the main building. It didn't take me long to find a broken window that gave me access. Just to be safe, I kicked the last shards of glass away so as not to cut myself when entering. The inside of the pool area was pitch dark. First, I shone my light across the ceiling, which was mouldy and infested with cobwebs. I looked at it for a minute to make sure that the GoPro attached to my head got the footage. Then I shone my flashlight inside the pool. To my horror, I saw a face. The pale face of a girl. Her eyes seemed vacant, and it felt as if she stared right through me. It scared me so badly I felt my heart explode. I ran as fast as I could to the exit. I normally don't believe in the supernatural, but then I was fully convinced I'd seen a ghost. I scratched my arms quite badly on the branches of the creepy willow tree while making my way to the fence, but I didn't feel it. I didn't feel anything aside from terror. When I finally got to my car, I sped away like crazy, not even paying attention to the speed limit. Only when I was far away, driving inside the city limits of my own town, did I calm down a little. That night, I took a sleeping pill. I didn't even want to look at my GoPro footage, for I was so scared. I figured I had seen the ghost of that poor girl that was electrocuted in the water so many years ago. 3 days later, I finally got the nerve to watch the footage. I invited my friend Lucy over, because I didn't dare to watch it alone. I told her what had happened, and explained that it was like that scene in The Lord of the Rings, where the hobbits have to cross the swamp. It had felt like I was Frodo, when he looks down into the marshes and sees the ghostly faces of the dead elves, trying to lure him in. Lucy calmed me down, and told me it was probably a figment of my imagination. The story about the electrocuted girl had put me on edge. She suggested watching the footage, so I could see that it was probably nothing. Together, we played the video on my computer while I squeezed her hand. When we finally came to the final scene, I was almost wishing I hadn't seen a face, that I was just crazy. But there it was, a face, bright and clear. My friend turned pale and gasped. She replayed the video again, and eventually paused it at the moment you could see the face. It took a minute for me to realize that I hadn't seen a ghost. It was a real human face, a dead one. I feared one of us would get a panic attack, but somehow we managed to control ourselves. Right away, Lucy told me that she was calling the cops. She didn't even ask me how I thought about that, just took out her cell and called the police station. While we waited, we watched the video over and over again, because I think we both couldn't believe it. But it was true. The video was proof of the fact that I had stumbled upon a body. Two police officers came over, one a fat older man with a shiny face, the other was a younger woman. Together they reviewed the video and looked at each other. First, the woman asked if this was some kind of prank, but when Lucy suddenly started sobbing uncontrollably, the officer quickly dropped it. The cop with the shiny face then called a colleague to report a possible body discovery. They stayed with us while they waited on two colleagues to go check out the abandoned swimming pool. Roughly an hour later, they got the confirmation. A bloated, dead girl had been found floating in the pool. Now I cried too when I heard that. At first, they thought she had been dumped, but the coroner found that the water in her lungs proved that she drowned. Her hands and feet were tied together with cable ties. The coroner thinks she was thrown in while she was still breathing and must have struggled for at least half an hour before she lost the strength to keep her head above water. The most disturbing thing about the case is that they still don't know who she is. The police have tried tirelessly to connect the corpse to missing person cases from all across the county, but so far they haven't made a match. Of course I was questioned, but I guess they removed me from their suspect list after I broke down during the first interview in the station. The saddest thought that still keeps me awake sometimes is that that poor girl would probably have still been lying there in that dirty pool if I hadn't found her. Lady Maria 12's comment is still there under one of my videos mentioning the school. A while ago, I told the female cop that came over to see my video of the school that the comment never sat right with me. I suggested to the police that they should look into the person behind that avatar, but the detective that was assigned to my case said that there was no way for the police to find out. There was no real name, no profile picture. They tried to get in contact, but got no response. The policewoman explained that in real life it wasn't like in the movies, where the government can just hack into any account they want. Besides, there wasn't any reason for the police to really suspect this person. It could have been just a coincidence. Bodies get dumped in all sorts of places. Still, maybe the worst thing about this awful story was that I would never know if that anonymous person actually had something to do with the crime, or might even be responsible for it. It was hard to talk about this to the therapist. I'm not a great communicator. I'd rather let my videos speak for me, you know. That's probably the reason the therapist suggested that I should make a video out of the ordeal. He thought it would be my way of processing it. When I finally edited a video, it felt wrong and exploitative. Despite the fact that I couldn't, and didn't want to, include the footage of the corpse I had stumbled upon by accident, the video made my channel explode. While many news outlets called me a senseless asshole, I got nearly 1 million subscribers in less than a week after the news broke. And this was in the early days of YouTube. And to be fair, it did feel like some form of closure, but it took me a while to build up the nerve to enter another empty building. Ever since, I always go with someone, for I can't guarantee that I won't lose my sanity if I stumble upon another pair of vacant eyes when I'm all alone, exploring a mouldy building somewhere. I hope they will find out who the mysterious dead girl was at some point. It still haunts me that she has not been identified, that there is a family out there that might still think their daughter ran away. Thanks for listening, and a happy Halloween. Do you enjoy listening to A Darker Tale? Consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. Even $1 a month will help us get out stories more regularly. Go to patreon.com/adarkertale. Thanks for your support. This story is released under an attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives, 4.0 International Creative Commons license. This story was narrated by Peter Yearsley. It was written by A Darker Tale. Follow A Darker Tale on Instagram for more. Thanks for listening.